The absence of a leader creates a vacuum, and this vacuum invites a question. What kind of leadership are we seeking? At the beginning of Parashat Ki Tisa, Moshe is absent. When he ascended the mountain at the end of Parashat Mishpatim, he entered the cloud and left behind an alternative leadership structure, appointing two individuals in his stead, Aharon and Hur. Who are they? What happens to them? And what do we learn from them about the absence of leadership? With you. Leadership that is present with the people. Moshe's ascent to the mountain is described as follows. God said to Moshe, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there." Moshe set out with his attendant Yoshua, and Moshe ascended the mountain of God. To the elders, he said, "Wait here for us until we return to you. Behold, Aharon and Hur are with you. Whoever has a matter may approach them." And Moshe was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Moshe is absent and for a long time. As he turns towards the mountain, he tries not to leave a leadership vacuum. He turns to his partners in leadership, the elders, Aharon and Hur. Moshe leaves behind an alternative leadership structure and in fact instructs both the people and the elders to turn to Aharon and Hur together. Whoever has a matter may approach them. By Moshe's command, the various roles of leadership are carried out by a plurality of people. Furthermore, Moshe defines what their role will be during his absence. In doing so, he essentially marks two clear leadership functions. First, to be with you, to be present, close to the people and by their side, holding the space in a time of uncertainty. Second, to be an address. Whoever has a matter may approach them. They are to be a focal point of inquiry and response, figures to whom questions and disputes can be brought. Leadership in a time of crisis, and perhaps in general, is not merely responsible for management and decision-making. It is first and foremost a matter of presence and providing an address that people can approach. Aharon, a leadership of connection and peace. Aharon served as Moshe's primary partner in the mission to Paro. "See, I place you in the role of God to Paro, and your brother Aharon shall be your prophet." This fraternal partnership recurs repeatedly and is emphasized in the genealogy of the tribe of Levi in chapter 6. It is the same Aharon and Moshe to whom the God said, "Bring out the Israelites." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, the same Moshe and Aharon. Additionally, even though the Mishkan, the tabernacle, has not yet been constructed, and he has not yet been inaugurated as high priest, Aharon is already at this point in the Torah identified with his priestly role. Aharon and his sons shall set it in order, a perpetual statute. In interpreting Aharon's role as leader, our sages sought to highlight one dimension of his character. They described Aharon's internal quality in words that have become a sort of maxim, perhaps a leadership motto. "Be of the disciples of Aharon, loving peace and pursuing peace, loving your fellow people and drawing them near to the Torah." Aharon's character, then, is that of a mediator and a priest, one who stands between the people and God, and perhaps also factions of the people themselves, a pursuer of peace. He accomplishes this through and by means of a fundamental love of humanity. Hur, leadership through self-sacrifice. Unlike Aharon, Hur is a figure with whom we are hardly acquainted in the Torah. Midrashic tradition identifies him as the son of Miriam, the next generation of the family, the nephew who joins the two brothers. Thus, a kind of familial leadership triangle is formed, Moshe, Aharon, and Hur, three men from the lineage of Amram and Yocheved. Yet when the sin of the golden calf occurs, the only address to which the people turn according to the verses is Aharon. The people gathered against Aharon and said to him, "Arise, make us a god." Contrary to Moshe's instructions, Hur is nowhere to be found. The Midrash fills this gap and offers an explanation for his absence and the fact that Hur is never mentioned again in the Torah. And the Midrash says as follows. When Israel committed that act, in other words, building the golden calf, they first went to Hur and said to him, "Arise, make us a god." Since he would not listen to them, they rose against him and killed him. What type of leadership does Hur embody in the Midrash as he stands before the people? Hur represents a different model of leadership. He says no, he resists, and he is willing to pay with his life rather than allow the act to occur. If Aharon embodies the leader who is a lover of peace and pursuer of peace, acting out of a desire for reconciliation through compromise, mediation, and concession, then Hur embodies the rigid backbone, the absolute devotion to values, even at a heavy personal cost. There is a striking similarity as well as a striking difference between the Midrashic description of the appeal to Hur and the Torah's description of the appeal to Aharon. The responses of the two men are, of course, diametrically opposed. On the other hand, in both cases, the people turn to only one individual. We do not know if Aharon and Hur presented themselves as individuals or if the people chose to approach only one of them. Either way, we do not see shared leadership. For whatever reason, Moshe's attempt to fill the power vacuum while he was up the mountain failed. Three atop a hill, shared leadership. There is a moment in which the verses describe a shared leadership where the three, Moshe, Aharon, and Hur, appear together during the war against Amalek. And Moshe, Aharon, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, but Moshe's hands grew heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aharon and Hur supported his hands, one on each side, and so his hands remained steady, emunah, until sunset. The image is powerful. Before us stands Moshe the leader, the man of law and prophecy, with his hands raised, a movement that determines the fate of the battle. But his hands grew heavy, as if he is unable to bear the burden of leadership alone. Aharon and Hur support him, each from a different side. The Torah's conceptualization, his hands remain steady, emunah, is not merely a technical description of physical stability. It is also a description of trust, emun. It is the trust of a leader who recognizes the limits of his own abilities and knows how to rely on others. It is the trust of partners who are willing to be supporters rather than the one out in front, to be the flanks that hold up the person at the center. It is trust in a leadership created by the combination of a mediating priest, Aharon, a devoted self-sacrificing figure, Hur, and a prophetic leader, Moshe. This scene sheds new light on what occurs in our parasha in the story of the golden calf. When Moshe is absent and the pressure mounts, it seems the people do not turn to a group of leaders. the triangular balance is broken. Instead of a team where there is one who says yes and one who says no, one who supports and one who is supported, and perhaps one who carries a multitude of voices together, only one leader remains, Aharon. In his effort to prevent bloodshed and preserve the people, his path leads to a dangerous compromise. A reading of the verses in the Midrashim reveals three distinct types of leadership. Moshe is the prophet, the lawgiver, the bearer of the Torah. His brother Aharon is the priest, a lover of peace, one who softens, reconciles, and draws people near. And the third, Hur, is the one prepared to give his soul for the Holy Blessed One and not allow the Israelites to sin, to refuse and take a stand even at the cost of his life. Together, these three create a portrait of leadership that does not rely on a single individual, but rather on a partnership between different figures with distinct characters who balance and support one another. Perhaps this is the deeper message of Behold, Aharon and Hur are with you. It is not merely a technical solution to Moshe's absence, but a proposition made by invoking a specific memory of crisis, the war with Amalek. Worthy leadership is not only a question of who is at the head, but of who is with you. Worthy leadership is not just a question of who is in charge, but of who supports the hands. How can we build a leadership of steadfastness and trust, emunah, atop the mountain? In a time when the leader does not return, when the leader is seemingly absent, when the cloud obscures our vision, when the world feels empty of direction, we can ask anew. We ask not only, where is Moshe, but also what kind of integrated leadership are we seeking? What combination of compromising, listening, decisive words, and the capability to lean on others do we seek, and perhaps even demand from our leaders? Shabbat Shalom.